My name is James, I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so honored to be sharing with you this morning. Who was here this past Wednesday? We had our official coming together partnership. Who was here this past Wednesday? Wow. It was amazing. God showed up big time. We just came, we thought we're just coming to hear what it looked like to be a partner. And instead of just that, the presence of God was in this place. And we're excited to officially, we are City Light Benson. Come on. Yeah, City Light Benson. We here. We are here and excited for what God is doing here in this church, in this community, and the people that he continues to bring, and excited to be walking along this journey with you for what God has for us. And so excited for that. We are in our vision series, and we're going to land the vision series on LEAD. And I like this passage and this message because it leads us into Easter weekend, and it gives us a picture of where Jesus was before he was getting ready to be hung on the cross, to be buried, and to be to ascend and resurrection. And so he gives a synopsis of that. And I like this verse because the title of this is what it is. It's the blueprint of leadership. He gives us a blueprint for leadership. And in fact, John C. Maxwell, some of you may know, he was a pastor many years, and now he's a leadership guru. He gave us this word of what leadership is, and it's a one simple word, which is influence. Influence, which is the power or capacity of causing an effect indirect or intangible ways. Leadership is influence. We all have influence. We all have an area or sphere of where our influence happens, whether it's just yourself, whether it's your family, whether it's your business. Some of you have influence in managing people. Some of you are the boss over people. We have influence in many areas. And he gives us five levels of leadership I want to share with you. The first one is position, which is rights. People follow because they have to. The second one is permission, which is relationship. People follow because they want to. The third one is production, results. People follow because of what you have done for the organization. The fourth one is people development, reproduction or reproduce. People follow because what you have done for them. And the fifth one is personhood, respect. People follow because of who you are and who and what you represent. Personhood, respect. People follow because of who you are and what you represent. And Jesus right here says, I want you to live in personhood. Level five, leadership. Who you are and who you represent. I don't know about you, but we've had many great leaders. I don't know, has anybody had a leader in their life where you can look back and say, man, they helped me in many areas in your life? Five people, great. No one else has been led. We have many types of leaders. We have had leaders who have helped us from afar and close by. And I look back on leaders, and some of you may have heard of this guy. His name is Dr. Martin Luther King. Ever heard of him? Great, great leader, great oracle communicator. He could galvanize a crowd and get us to unite under the banner of that we are better together. He understood that we are all equal in the eyes of God. No one's better than, no one's less than. We are all equal. And he can get us all together and unite together in one purpose. He was an incredible leader. Another leader, he was from a distance, but there was someone else close to me for the past 5 years who helped me in my leadership. And his name is Ron Dosler. Ever heard of Ron Dosler? Right here in the community. Incredible leader. And he would share his story, and I'll be amazed at his story. He was an engineer over 30 years ago. He was an engineer. He was pursuing the American dream. The American dream is, you know, get married and have 2.5 children and the fence, right? And the yard is cut even, and you come home and everything's great. You know, there's no trouble. It's just this American dream. Everything is beautiful over in American dreamland. Ever heard of that? And he was living that dream, And then something happened to him where he realized this dream isn't what I was called to do. God has called me to do much more. He called me to live on mission. So he decided with his wife and five children that they were going to leave the comfort of their home and go pursue something that God has called them to do. And so they were headed over to Mexico to be missionaries in Mexico. And so with their five children, they're on the process, and they sold everything. He sold his house and cars, sold everything he had. And on his way to Mexico, he had to stop before they could get papers, and they had to stop. And so a friend of theirs said, hey, since you sold everything, you don't have a house, you can park here in a home over in North Omaha. You can stay here until you get your papers before you can leave. And so they stayed there, and in that moment, they realized that the mission field wasn't another nation. It was in the backyard of their home. And so they decided to stay and pursue and be challenged, because he understood that my dream is not what I need to live for. It is the mission that God has called me into. It's the mission in the heart he's called into. And that's what I want to talk to you about, leadership, the blueprint of leadership. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I say this. I say, God, I want to do great things. Ever said that? God, I want to do great things. If only I can do something great. I want to do, man, God, I just want to do something great for you. And we keep searching for doing something great. And my perspective changed. I was listening to this podcast this week, and I talked to this pastor who was leading the change in a church. It was this mega church in Nashville. And they asked him, tell us what you learned through the change of leadership. Mega church. Lost a few people, but they called him into it. And he said this one thing. He said, I kept praying, God, I want to do great things. I want to do great things. As I kept preaching, I want to do great things for you, God. I want to do great things. And so he said it changed at one time. And the Holy Spirit said, stop saying I want to do great things. And what if you change it to I want to do things for a great God? I don't want to just do great things. I just want to do things for a great God. And in this moment, in this passage, Jesus is teaching us the blueprint for leadership. I'm going to set the scene. John, who is one of Jesus' beloved disciples. John has been walking with Jesus. He has been seeing Jesus up close. He has seen Jesus do miracles. He's seen Jesus from up close. And so he has followed, and he's writing this passage. He wants us to get us a close view into what this scene is. And so here it is, Jesus. He is with his disciples at the table. Jesus understands that he's getting ready to die. The next day, he's getting ready to die. And at this moment, Jesus has decided that he wants to hang out with his disciples. And I don't know about you, but I like to read in the scriptures. I like to see, I wonder what the emotions were happening in this moment. So Jesus is sitting at the table, and I wonder, were they laughing with each other? Were they talking? I remember when you did that. Hey, Pete, I remember when you walked on water. I like Pete. Pete's my guy. I wonder what the mood was in this moment. Was Jesus in a somber moment sitting there watching and knowing across from him Judas, who's going to betray him? I wonder what his emotions were at that moment. Because disciples didn't know. They didn't know what was going on. They were still clueless. They still were asking questions. What does it look like to really follow you? I know you've been talking you're going to leave us. I know you've been talking that you're going to not be here. So what does this really look like to follow you? What is the blueprint? And Jesus, in this moment, had decided to teach them a lesson. The last lesson he's going to teach them. And I only got 2 points for you this morning. Normally I work in threes, but I'm going to work with two this morning. You guys cool with that? Cool. The first one is this, in this passage. If you're leading, you're learning. Verse 13 says this, you've called me your teacher and Lord. And you're right, for that's who I am. So if I'm your teacher and Lord and have just washed your dirty feet, underline this, then you should follow my example that I've set for you and wash one another's dirty feet. People love Jesus' teachings. People love hearing about Jesus. People like coming to church and getting a message. Tell me more about this great story. Tell me more. Teach me more. I want to learn more. Many people have followed Jesus. In fact, time and time again, Jesus grew big crowds, thousands and thousands of crowds. They loved hearing Jesus teach, but none of them, a lot of them did not make him Lord of their life. And it's different from teaching and making him Lord of your life. He said, I am your teacher and I am your Lord, because not only do you have to follow me in my teaching, you have to follow me in my example of how I live. He said, I want to teach you. You have to make me Lord of your life. My question to you is, have you made him Lord over your life? I made him Lord over my relationships, but I haven't quite made him Lord in my finances. I made him Lord in my finances, but I haven't made him Lord in my marriage. He says, no, you have to make me, you have to learn from me, my teachings, my word, but also follow my example, the blueprint for leadership. Not just teaching, but lordship. Is he Lord over your life? The very word Lord is Hebrew and Greek, which means one possessed with absolute control, one with a ruler, and he is the subject. He is the subject over my life. Here's the question. Do you love the teaching or do you love the teacher? Do I love what he says? I love what he says, but I haven't quite made him Lord over my life. I haven't quite followed him all the way. And he says, for you to learn to be leading, you have to just understand, not just understand my teaching, but my example. Teachers are incredible. I love teachers. In fact, I don't know why I remember teachers in my life, but there's a few that I remember. I remember my first grade teacher. Her name was Miss Ellis. And I remember her because we had just moved to Omaha. I was just coming to a new school. And I remember walking down the hall nervous and scared. And I'm walking down, don't know anybody. And I walk into the room. And the reason I remember her because she was my first black teacher. She was standing tall. She's looking down, just smiling. And she says, it's going to be okay. She was cool. I have no idea what she taught me, but she was good. The second teacher I remember, her name was Mrs. Dale, second grade teacher. Now, Mrs. Dale, she was not like my first grade teacher. My first grade teacher, she was very nice. My second grade teacher, I still don't know to this day how she was an elementary teacher. I mean, she was mean, I'm telling you. And so I remember this particular moment. And back then, I keep saying back then like it's so long ago, but back then, there was a sheet of half paper, and half of it you could color in, and the other half you had to write. You know what I'm talking about? All my 90s babies. Yay. All right. And so she would say, I remember her yelling, she said, color this whole part, color it. And we're second grade. We're like, okay. And so we kept trying, we could bring it back to her desk, and she'd be like, that's not it. Color the whole thing. And for half hour, all of us kept going back, this is wrong. And finally she gets up, and she stands, she says, maybe you're not listening to me. Color the whole thing. And this wob of spit just fell. Boom. Down. I don't know what she taught me. I remember that story. I remember another teacher, his name, my fifth grade teacher. I don't know who my third grade teacher was or fourth grade. My fifth grade teacher, though, his name was Mr. Rose. Mr. Rose was cool. He's a cool teacher. I wasn't a kid that got in trouble often, right? I was one of those kids, you know, trouble once a year, and I was good, all right. And so, but in school, when you're a fifth grade student, you think everything's funny, you know, and you're a little goofy, right? And I remember in class, and I was being goofy, and I remember he was the first one who said, Jameson, you're a leader. You're a leader. And, you know, fifth grade. All right. And I remember I did something to wind up in detention. It wasn't my fault. I know it wasn't my fault. But I did something to wind up in detention. And we're sitting in detention, I remember. And I'm sitting next to my friend. I think we did something. And Mr. Rose is in the back. And he says, guys, you guys are awesome. And in fact, I know you're great kids, and so I want to make sure that you enjoy detention. Dun, 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 dun. And we're sitting there, and we're, we're, where he says, here's some homework. And he says, oh, we're about to have some fun. And I remember sitting there, and he cuts the music on. I said, all right, we're about to have some fun. And he said, y'all, you guys are going to love this. I'm going to put you guys on country music. You're going to love country music. And I sat there in pain and agony listening to country music. And now I'm a fan of country. I owe it to Mr. Rose. But here's the thing. Who we learn from is just as important as who we follow. Who we learn from is just as who we follow. What we intake, what we learn, what we intake here is just as important. What are you intaking? What are you feeding yourself? Who is teaching you? Because we all have examples of what it looks like. If my marriage is struggling, who am I allowing to speak into my marriage? If I'm having trouble with my children, who am I allowing to speak into my life for parenting? If I'm having situations, who am I allowing to help teach me how to lead? And Jesus gives us that blueprint of how to lead. He does. Here's the second point I want to share with you. Jesus said that I must be Lord and teacher in your life. Here's the second point that I want to get to. If serving is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. If serving is beneath you, leadership is beyond you. Jesus Christ laid aside his majesty in order to serve humanity. His death is the supreme example of his servanthood, the fulfilling of the will of God, his Father. It jumps into 4, says, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer robe, and took on a towel and wrapped it around his waist. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, dirty feet, and dried them with his towel. But when Jesus got to Peter, he objected and said, I can't let you wash my dirty feet. You are my Lord. Jesus replied, you don't understand yet the meaning of what I'm doing, but soon it will be clear to you. And Peter looked at Jesus. Peter was bold. I don't know how he continued to do this. He looked at Jesus and said, you will never wash my feet. Never. Jesus, you will never wash my feet. Why is Pete so mad? Why is he so upset? Because he understood what washing feet meant. He understood that it was the lowliest position of a servant. That you don't wash anybody's feet. I don't know about you. How many feet have you washed? A lot. He said, my baby boy, I'd be washing his feet. But it was a lowly position. It was not of an esteemed position. And how Peter was looking at Jesus, you are my Lord and my teacher. You don't stoop down to wash my feet. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. In this kingdom, I have to show you what it looks like to lead. And what it looks like to lead is becoming a servant. It's becoming a posture that I'm willing to serve and lay down my life for you. Washing the feet was not what he's supposed to do. I wonder if the disciple was like, you know what? I could get by with maybe washing my friend's feet, but Jesus, you don't wash my feet. You don't wash. Do you understand? You don't come down and stoop lower for me. Do you understand how dirty I am? Do you understand what I've done? You don't stoop down to wash my feet. Jesus said, no, let me give you the blueprint for how to lead. And he says, in his all majesty and power, he gets down low and washes the feet of his disciples. It's a job that wasn't suited for Jesus' stature. It wasn't a job that he was supposed to be doing. Some say, people are saying, it's a position for someone who isn't worthy to sit at the table, but it is worthy to serve people at the table. And that was the wrong perspective. That you can sit at the table. You can't sit at this table, but you can serve the people at the table. And Jesus said, this is the wrong way to lead. So through Jesus' actions, it teaches us a lesson about selfless service. He wants to continue to remind his disciples, this is what it looks like to serve. And in fact, the disciples always kept arguing about who was best. Arphak kept arguing, I am the greatest. Don't you understand my position? Don't you understand who I am? I am the greatest. In fact, they kept arguing about it over in Luke 24. It says the disciples bickered over which one of them will be considered the greatest in the kingdom. Jesus interrupted the argument saying, the kings and men of authority in the world rule oppressively over the subjects, claim that they do it for the good of the people. They are obsessed with how others see them. They are obsessed with how others see them. But this is not your calling. You will lead by a different model. The greatest one among you will live as one called to serve without honor. The greatest honor and authority is reserved for the one who has a servant's heart. He said, this is your calling. That you serve without honor. That you serve. This is in this kingdom, this is what it looks like to lead at the highest level as one who's willing to get low and serve. And there's many in here who have done that. Many of you who have said, you know what, I'm willing to serve like crazy. I'm willing to serve without a title. I'm willing to get in and see how I can give to my community, to give my time and my talents and my treasure. Verse 27 says this. It says the leaders who were served. It says verse 20, the leaders who are served are the most important in your eyes. But in this kingdom, it is the servants who lead. In this kingdom, it is the servants who lead. Am I not here with you as one who serves you? Oftentimes, we like to go, you know, how can I be served? And how can I be put into a position of power? How can I be the one who people are coming to? How we come to this conflict of me. How can I come to church and be served? And how can I make sure everything's right for I can like the way it sounds and the way it flows? Me. And just said, this is not about me. Do that with me. Me. Yeah, not about me. No. He says, in this kingdom, it's not me, but it's how I can give and serve. How can I give my time and serve? How can I give my treasure and serve? How can I give what skills God has given me to lay them down and say, God, it's not about my dreams, but it's about your mission of what you called me into. It's not mine, it is yours, and I give it to you. It's not about me, but it is about you and how I can lay it down at your feet. And I realized one of the greatest times that I had when I came into this church, I was just beginning the first week, how I love seeing people serve. We came in, I saw guys flipping pancakes, smiling. I seen people outside greeting. I seen people saying, how can I serve you? And that is the greatest position you could ever have is one of a server. It's not of a title. You don't need a title to serve. I don't need a position or a stage to serve. In fact, this isn't the platform of which servanthood happens. People say, I want to get on stage and I want a platform. And how can I create something for me? And God said, no. I need you to serve. I look at when I find leaders, I don't look for people who have the best skills and best talent. I say, God, who is serving? Who's serving? Who's saying it's not about me? I want to be around people who say, you know what? I don't need a title or position or a stage to live out what God has called me to live out. I don't need that. I can serve. And there's many people in here I know who serves. Yesterday, I was so proud of people who showed up yesterday, came in and said, you know what? I'll clean bathrooms, clean toilets, wipe down chairs, sweep the floors. Take whatever trash. We're all just going. My heart is just full of joy. I'm like, man, this is what it's like to serve one another. And this text actually does teach us about servanthood. It does teach us about how to serve one another. But the text continues to remind us, even spiritually, what it means for allow the word to wash us. What it means for the Lord to take over our lives, for us to follow daily in his footsteps. Because Peter says, hey, wash my head and my feet. In fact, wash my whole body so I can be clean. And Jesus says, no, you are clean. Let me wash your feet. Because I had a teacher that is a daily process of which I am taking you through. That you received me as teacher and Lord, and now you are following in my example. They didn't understand. They didn't know why. Why are you going to leave me? Why are you going to be gone? And Jesus says, I have to go to fulfill my mission. I have to leave you here, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to leave you with a helper called the Holy Spirit who's going to help lead you and guide you and teach you of all things and comfort you and convict you. I'm going to leave you with him, but I have to go fulfill my mission. But until I go there, I have to give you the living example of what it means to be in this kingdom and the ultimate position you can have as a server. One of the greatest titles you can have is servant. Because we don't think that's a great title, do we? Oh, he serves, he's a servant. That's not a grand title in our world. That's not even the title that we want to have. But Jesus said, in this kingdom, you have to be a servant. Because he gave us the ultimate example of servanthood. That went to the cross and died for you and I. The death that we deserved, he took that upon us. And he said, not only am I going to be your savior, but I am also a servant to you. And that is the example we have to live out of. That I'm willing to be a servant. He is my Lord. He is my savior. He is all that. And in his teaching, I'm willing to say, I'm following your example. I don't know about you, but God's continuing to remind me, Jameson, is not about you. He's continuing to change me. Jameson, I need you to lay down your life. I need you to continue to serve. Ask the Lord every day, God, continue to cleanse me of thoughts when I think I'm getting prideful, when I think I'm becoming some more than I'm. No, Jameson, you are a servant. That is the best position you could ever be in. And that is the greatest position of this church to say, we're going to serve. Hands open, arms held wide, inviting people into this place. And that's a vision and mission that I'm willing to go after. I'm willing to allow people from all walks of life to come in and say, hey, come. You got to hear about this Jesus. And when you hear about him, I pray that you make him Lord of your life. And when you make him Lord over your life, I pray that you follow in his example. That is the greatest thing we could ever do, is sharing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The blueprint, the example of how we have to lead. Leadership is not position, not titles. It is that level 5 personhood. That level 5 of who I am and who I represent. Are you representing him well? Are you representing Jesus? Can people say, hey, I can follow you as you follow Christ? Does your life exemplify what it looks like to follow Jesus? And some of you may be making that decision this morning. Some of you say, man, I don't know if I even made him Lord over my life. I know you shared the good news. I like the teaching. I like coming, but I don't even know if I made him Lord, central over everything of my life, every dream, every idea. I don't know if I even gave that to him. And guess what? The gospel is good news because you can do it this morning. The gospel is good news. It is hope for us today. It's for us to say, I surrender everything to you. God, if he's called me to lead, I'll serve my way into leadership because that's what this kingdom is. I pray that that's what this church is, a place where servanthood is happening at the highest level. How can I help you? What can I do for you? How can I give what I have to you? What mission has God called you? Because your mission might be a little different than my mission. The way you do maybe look a little different than how I do, but we're all called into this kingdom to serve one another. I like this last scripture. John 13:17 says this. It says, now put into practice what I have done for you. When you leave here this morning, put into practice what I have done to you, and you will experience a life of happiness enriched with untold blessings. When you follow this blueprint, when you follow his example, it says you will experience a life of happiness enriched with untold blessings. God, I'm struggling over here. Give your life over to him. God, I'm frustrated. Give your life over to him. And guess what? I promise you will live a life and have a life full of happiness and enriched with many blessings. Because when you surrender it all to him, you don't have to worry about those things. It's his. You don't have to worry, how am I going to fix it? How am I going to get over it? No, I lay it down and I surrender everything. 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 We have a hard time with that. Everything. I have a hard time with that. Everything. Every area of my life, I surrender it to you. Take it. Take it, Lord. It's too much for me to bear. Take it, Lord. It's too much for me to try to figure out. Take it, Lord. Take it. Take it. You are my teacher and you are my Lord over my life. Now, I pray we lead out. I pray that's a vision worth following. It says that without a vision, people perish. Without a direction of where we're going, people will fade away. And I pray with this vision that we continue to go and make disciples and give our lives away and say, God, it's not my dreams, but it's your mission that you've called me to live out. That is something I want to be a part of.